All right, we are going to chase this theme that we've started in our morning Bible studies, and it's the theme of alive with Christ. Alive with Christ. And we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 4, so if you have a Bible, if you'd like to go ahead and turn there, we'll be there shortly. Now, if you don't have a Bible, part of the text is in your bulletin. All of the text is on the wall, and so you could follow along that way. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, we would love to get one for you. So just let us know, and we would be it'd be our privilege to be able to put God's Word in your hand. So I want to share a thought today we're going to call It's Alive. You remember the old movie, was it Frankenstein? Where the scientist guy goes, it's alive. And this thing that was dead and unanimated comes to life, right? Well, that's kind of the thought process that we're going to pursue today as it relates to the small library of books that you hold in your hand. What do we call the small library of books that you hold in your hand? The Bible, all right? So I'm going to talk today about the living Word of God, kind of like in the saying, it's alive, okay, it's alive. There are people on the planet who would disagree, but it certainly is alive for those who have known that to be so. So it's a small library, right? Some people call it a book. It's not a book. It's 66 books, and they're all compressed there that we get to enjoy and read and memorize and be challenged and changed by day in and day out. So this little library. Let's talk about a big library for a minute, though. And here's some things maybe you did or didn't know. The largest library in the world is the Library of Congress. And it has more than 150 million items in this library on over 838 miles of shelves. That's massive, right? So you've got this big building that holds all of these books, that holds all of these. There's audio files, there's manuscripts, there's journals. I mean, numbers just kind of that are hard to understand. 32 million books, 30 million recordings, 15 million photographs, 5 million maps, 61 million manuscripts. That's a lot of writing, right? A lot of books. Out of all of those books, though, there's only one book that claims to be alive, and that is the Word of God. And so today I want to look at this living Word of God. I've been praying that God would bring this to life here today, that we wouldn't just hear facts, but that we would get something that would be life-changing here among us this morning. So if you've got your Bible, Hebrews 4 is where we're going to be. We're going to read the first 13 verses of this chapter. But what you've got going on here, chapter 3, you've got the author talking about God's people, Israel, and how they were rebellious towards God. They wouldn't follow Him. They wouldn't obey Him. And as a result of that, they didn't enter His rest, talking about His salvation, talking about the eternal rest of heaven. And so in chapter 4, we get into this idea of rest again, that rest is still being made available to everyone. Rest of salvation, the rest of heaven, and how we are to respond to that, how we're to live in light of that. And so God's Word today gives us this truth of just not only delighting in Him, but pursuing after Him so that we can have this life that we're going to talk about today. And so Hebrews 4, and by the way, let's just say this up front. We're going to talk about obedience a little bit, but obedience doesn't save anybody, right? No, obedience is just simply a demonstration of what's going on in my life. So salvation is always by grace through faith, and so we're saved that way, we're kept saved that way. It's never because of what we do. However, what I do is directly connected to who I am, and if I'm a Christian, that will flow out of me, okay? So I don't do good works to get saved. I do good works because I am saved. And so that will be produced in my life. Kind of like an apple tree bears apples. That's just what it does. For the Christian, we just bear good works. That's what we've been created to do there, Ephesians 2:10. So Hebrews 4, let's go there, verses 1 through 13. We're going to talk about this rest, but specifically we're going to hone in on verse 12 as it relates to the Word of God giving us guidance in living here in obedience, thankfulness, and then also as we press on towards home. Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So the word was preached, but they didn't hear it. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter the rest, as He has said, so I swore in my wrath they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again in this place they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it's been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. And so there's more rest here that he's talking about. Verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent then to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So what we're looking at today is how this living word of God, the role that it plays in helping us not only live in our rest today, but press on obediently towards that rest that awaits us. And we'll proceed with about 3 points here, okay? That's our typical process. So if you want to follow along in your bulletin, you can. You don't have to. But we'll note 3 things as we progress throughout this message. Number one is this. The word of the Lord is, it's a present voice. It's a present voice. I'm not an alliteration guy. Don't really like it. I'm terrible at it. Don't really enjoy listening to it, but I'm sorry. You're going to get it today, all right? We got APV, a present voice. That's to say that God still speaks today. So as I said earlier, there are people on this planet who would say that this is just a book. They would relegate it to any other book. It's just simple reading, okay? Maybe not simple in that it's easy to understand, but it's reading. It offers no real power, offers no real hope, has no real life to it. It's just a book like any other book. The truth of the matter is the Bible never makes that claim. So if it's just a book like any other book, then it's really a book to be discarded because the Bible says it is living. And it's not like anything else. It's unlike everything else on the planet. So it's not just a history of people who've lived here, but it is a history of people who've lived here. It's not just historical fact, but it is historical fact. All right, there's all sorts of things we could say about it, but the bottom line is that it really is the living Word of God. And so what you and I hold in our hand is not just a book, it's alive. It's alive, and we're going to try to press on through that here this morning. God spoke these words, and he still speaks them today. And that's what's cool to me about this. The same words that God spoke back to Abram and Moses and Joshua, those same group of men, he still uses the same words to speak to people today. And so it's not just, hey, let me tell you a story about long ago. It's, this is living and this is working here in my heart this morning. It's today. It's active. And what we read, today is an important day. Right? When we talk about the people who've lived before us, we're talking about yesterday. When we talk about tomorrow, we're talking about the future. But what he talks here about is today. Today is an important day. Let's go back to verse 7. Hebrews 4, verse 7 says, God again set a certain day, calling it, what is it? Today. God called this day today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. That was in chapter 3. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And so that's just simply saying God's voice is a present voice. It's not past tense. Okay? So we're not just reading about stuff that God did, but he's not doing it today. We're not reading about what God said then, and he's not speaking today. God's words still speak, which is to say he is still at work. For me here, I'm in my quiet time. I read every morning. You know, my practice is to read a chapter a day, and I'm in the book of Jeremiah. So I've been reading through Jeremiah, and 5 different times in Jeremiah, he says, the word of the Lord came to me. As the word of the Lord came to me. Then the word of the Lord came to me. And as I was reading that, I just got kind of caught up by that. Like, how awesome is that? And in my mind, I was thinking, how awesome was that for him, for Jeremiah? Just going about your work. He was a priest, loving the Lord, trying to serve the Lord, giving your best. And then all of a sudden, you get this word from God. He speaks to you. Man, for me, I was just kind of like, wow, that's amazing. It took a little bit, all right? And maybe it's already clicked with you, but finally it clicked with me. The word of the Lord has come to me. The same word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah is the word that has come to me. And so I thought, how awesome. How many times has the Lord met me in my time of need through his word to bless me or to speak to me or encourage me or to correct me or to guide me. And how many times has God come to you in that way? Right? All that is a living word. It is an active word. So it's not just like reading Humpty Dumpty fell off a wall. That means nothing to me. But when we read texts that talk about the grace of God or the shepherd who is leading our heart or is working in us or who is our advocate or the one who's praying for us or the one who's comforting us or the one who is right here with us, when we read these words, it's alive, right? It does something to you. So if you've ever had the word of the Lord come to you, as Jeremiah said, then it is a powerful thing. Chuck Swindoll says it this way: news articles may inform us, novels may inspire us, poetry may enrapture us, but only the living word of God can transform us. It is living and it is presently working. And that's one of the beauties of the word of God. It's living and it's also at work. So the words that we're talking through today, I'm throwing a lot of words out there that aren't God's words, but the words that are God's, God takes and he uses and he puts them to work because it's living. And secondly, here, because it's active. So we've got this present voice, and now we've got this powerful voice. And so let's progress there to our second point this morning. It's not just present. It is also powerful. Now, when we talk of power, have you heard people who sing really loud? Or have you ever been around a loud talker? And they're not yelling. They just tend to talk loud. Okay, so when we're talking about a powerful voice of God, we're not talking about God's volume. And the Bible talks about his voice rattles the heavens or it makes the mountains quake. We're not talking about hearing something audibly. We're talking about God being able to do things that seem impossible or unimaginable. And so when you talk of the powerful word of God, it's beyond our grasp. Verse 12, the first part of that verse says this: for the word of God is alive, it's present, but it's also active. That's to say that it is powerful. So here's the reality. God can use his word to accomplish whatever he wants to accomplish. And so you've probably been in services, I'm sure you have, like today, where you hear God's word and it starts working in your life in a way that the preacher wasn't talking about. You ever had that happen? Never? Plenty of times for me, and I sit there and I start taking notes about what I feel like God's speaking to me. It has nothing to do whatsoever with what that man is saying, but God's bringing that to life within me, right? Because it is not only alive, but it is powerful. It's active. And so God's using it for all sorts of things. The Bible talks about he can heal the sick, he can calm the storm, he can raise the dead, all sorts of stuff he does through his word. One of the things we get through the word of God, though, we want to talk about here, is he gives us the power to demolish strongholds. He gives us the power to overcome these things that seek to work against us. So in Ephesians 6, this isn't on the wall, but the Bible talks about us being dressed in the armor of God. And we have all of this defensive armor. We have one weapon of offense, and what is it? It's called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Bible, okay, which is this word of God. And so he talks in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, that we are to have this, we have this weapon from God, this sword of the Spirit, this Bible that gives us the power to overcome and demolish strongholds. So how do I defeat temptation? Can I do it on my own? Never. I always lose that battle. I had a talk in our home here recently. Why can't I get beyond myself? Why do I keep doing what I don't want to do? I have this attitude, or I talk this way, or I don't want to do this. And I said, because you're trying to do it on your own. And you're always going to fail yourself every time. And so we've got to learn to rely on the Lord, learn to trust in his word, because it's the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, that gives us the ability to demolish the strongholds in our life. That's a beautiful text there in 2 Corinthians 10. So the word of the Lord is alive. This word of the Lord is active. It does all sorts of things. We could talk about how he brought everything into existence through his word. We can talk about how he can make things cease at his word. Just amazing power in the word of God. And the same word can also save people who've never received Christ as their Savior. I heard a story told about a guy who was talking to an elderly pastor. And he said, I've read and I've reread and I've read the Bible. I've gone through it several times and I've received no inspiration whatsoever from the Bible. And this elderly man sat there for a minute and he says, okay, you've gone through it several times and you've never received anything. He says, my friend, the problem is you need to let the Bible go through you several times rather than you going through it. And when you do that, then you'll have a different story. Right? The Word of God is powerful. It's not just sit down and read it and close it. Hey, I've read today. It's God, bring this to life. Renovate my mind. Work in my heart. Change me, however it is that you'd choose. We tend to listen to Joy FM some when we're riding in the car or about radio network sometimes. But Joy FM is 99.1, and every so often they have a person tell their story in 99 seconds. And so right now there's a story on of this guy who grew up in church all of his life, went to church with his parents, but he never felt really any connection to the Lord, never thought he was a believer, liked the people, but when he got out of his parents' home, as many are doing, just abandoned the church and went his own way. Professional bodybuilder, he's been very successful in life, owns his own gym. And one day he said this Christian man who works out at his gym came in and he started sharing the gospel with him. He said, there were two verses that just like came to life within me. It just was working within me. And so he quotes these. I love to hear how he quotes it. But Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And he said it was that point in his life where he realized that he needed Christ, that salvation was key, and he needed to receive Jesus by faith. And from that point, he's been a different man. Why? Because the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is active. It still speaks, but the Word of God is powerful in that it still reaches and it still penetrates. It's still working here this morning. So something to think about as we progress into this kind of Thanksgiving season, holiday season. We're probably going to visit with a lot of people. Some we know, some we may not know. We've said before, if people walk from us and the only thing they can say from us is that they were good neighbors, then we failed them horribly. Horribly. If the only thing people can say about me is that I'm kind, or that I'm compassionate, or that I helped in their time of need, then I have been a failure in their life. Right? People don't need to know that about me, because truth of the matter is, we're not that. I'm not that. What they need is the Word of God. And so, is it important that we're kind? Sure it is. Is it important that we're compassionate? Sure it is. Is it important that we are generous? Sure it is. Is it important that we serve? Yeah, but none of that stuff changes people's lives. All that does is help reinforce what we say or are supposed to be saying. That's why Paul wrote and told us that faith comes by hearing. Not because of what we do, but because the Word of God is being preached. You remember that little progression there? It says people are going to hear, they're going to call, and they're going to believe. And whoever calls, hears, believes, and calls will be saved. Well, what is it they're supposed to hear? The Word of God, right? Because it's alive and because it's powerful. And that is the word that changes them. Romans 10, 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and that message is heard through the Word about Christ. So the Word of the Lord is active. It's powerful. How many of you have a Bible that's bound by leather? Or imitation leather or something along those lines? Right? These words may be bound by leather, but they are not restricted by this leather. Right? All that does is give us a house to put this beautiful work in. Nothing will limit the Word of God. Nothing can restrict its power. Nothing can make Him stop speaking presently. And so I love that. At any moment, you may feel like, I don't know what to share with somebody. Share the Word of God. You might say, well, they're already a Christian. Great. Share the Word of God with them. Share something that God's been speaking to you about. Here recently, I was reading in Psalm one day this week also, and talking about how people don't blush. These people who are wicked, they just, nothing makes them blush. And I got to thinking, man, that's just like the culture we live in today. Right? Where everything that's God-honoring and everything that's the way that God has intended for it to be is taking a back seat to how we want it to be or how we think it should look. And we've just got this elevated perversion and we've just dishonored the Lord our God. And so just thinking through that this week and started working in me, and so we're sharing that with my class and different conversations have come from that. But it's the idea that we can build and equip one another even though we're believers. So it's not just, here's the Word of God, now be saved. It's hear the Word of God and be encouraged. Here's the Word of God and be challenged. Here's the Word of God and be convicted. Here's the Word of God and be built. Constantly looking for opportunities to share the Word of God because it's essential to life. It's alive. It's not my words. It's His words that matter. So we've got this beautiful voice that's a present voice. We've got this beautiful voice that is a powerful voice that works to break down strongholds and reach those who are lost and encourage those who believe. But then we also have this word, which is a precise voice. Which is a precise voice. And when we're talking about a precise voice, that's number three. A precise voice is one that cuts right to the heart. It cuts right to the heart. God never uses His word in ways that are sloppy. And so He never just cuts us up to make a mess of things. And I don't know why I did that, and I shouldn't have poked there, and I shouldn't have made that incision. Everything God does is deliberate, and it is perfect. That next verse goes on to say, verse 13 we read this morning, everything is naked. It's laid bare. It's the idea that it's all clean. It's perfect. God can perfectly see everything about us, every intention, every thought, everything that happens within us, because He breaks us down precisely with this sword. Let's go to verse 12 here of Hebrews chapter 4. We find this delicate working of the Word of God. For the Word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. And this morning, if you were to shove me through with a spear, you know what you would not do? You wouldn't divide my soul and spirit. Right? And you could go all the way through me, and you could just try to tear me, and you'd make a mess of me. You'd ravage me. But you would never divide my soul from spirit. You could never touch that. The Word of God speaks to our core. It speaks to that nature. It speaks to the things that nothing else on the planet can touch. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And so it's this double-edged sword that works in me in ways that nothing else can. Sometimes we may get some guilt because of what other people say about how they've done something in their life or how they didn't do something, but true conviction comes when I'm faced with the Word of God and where He starts to work in my heart, where He starts to work in my life through these powerful present words. He precisely and yet delicately begins to sever me in ways that are for my good because He's working to draw me closer to Himself. And so He points out my sin. He helps me see my errors. He defines my mistakes. He's a discerner of my thoughts. How many thoughts have you ever had that you've never shared with anybody? I mean, no one ever knows that you had it. Lots, right? And nobody but God is the key here. Right? So there are lots of thoughts we've had. Lots of intentions in our heart nobody has a clue about. Nobody knows, but God knows. You ever have a thought and then it starts working on you like, why did I think that? Or have an intention in your heart and you know it's not good, but you want to retaliate, or you want to get even, or you want to be smart, or you want to withhold. We didn't tell anybody that. And yet there's this conviction going on within us, right? Because this Word of God, it penetrates, and it gets to the recesses where no one else can touch, places that no one else even knows exist. And God's reaching us there because He's trying to help us become more like His Son. Does God see them? Absolutely. And He's always working to address our thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. He's always working delicately, precisely, to reach the recesses that no one else even knows exist. And so His Word is precise. He's working to minister to me in the ways that I need. So this morning we've talked about this present word, which is active today, alive today. We've talked about the powerful word, which is doing things that nothing else on the planet can do and helping us demolish strongholds and reaching people that don't believe. We've talked about this precise word, which cuts us in ways that we need to be cut. Right? I may say words to you that hurt you, but they may not be beneficial to you. They won't be beneficial if they're not God's words, if they're not helpful in that way. But God's word always cuts in ways that are for our good. And so all sorts of things we could say about the living Word of God. These three we've just selected from the text. But what I want to consider here as we begin to close is this. Is God's word speaking to you presently? Like when you read God's word maybe at home or maybe this morning right now, is God's word, is he present in your life? Is there a voice that calls from the pages of this leather-bound text that continues to renovate, that continues to draw you out, that continues to convict you or to give you direction. See, that all begins through the working of the Spirit. And so maybe this morning, God's Spirit is not active, living, working in you. The Bible talks about there are all sorts of people who can know the words, they just don't know the author. And that makes a difference. It makes a big difference. They can quote it in universities, they can quote it in my neighborhood, but they don't know the author. When you don't know Jesus, friend, it's just a bunch of words that don't seem to make any sense. When you've trusted in Christ as your only hope, His Spirit lives in you and these words start to come to life. And layer by layer, level by level, God's Word begins to build us and grow us, develop us to be more like His Son. And so I just wonder, is God using His Word to speak to you? Maybe He's drawing you out to trust in Him as your only hope. Maybe you've never said, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and will you please save me? Maybe today you'd like to do so. Remember what we read earlier? Today, when you hear the word of the Lord, don't harden your heart, but we're to respond. And so maybe God's drawing you through His word to be saved. Maybe God's drawing you or pointing out some error in your life through His word. Today is the day to deal with that. Today is the day to hearken. Today is the day to listen. And so I want to encourage you today to listen to His voice. Maybe there's some changes that need to take place. There's things in your recesses, my recesses, that you don't know anything about. I don't know anything about yours, but God's reaching us there, and the purpose is so that we'll deal with those. I just want to encourage you today, however God's word may be addressing your heart and mind, deal with it. And if God's word is not living and active among you or in you, then pray about it. If you're not a believer, Lord Jesus, would you please forgive me of my sins and save me? And if you are a believer, then God, I feel like you're absent. I can't hear your voice. These words make no sense. Is there sin in my life? Is there someone that I need to seek forgiveness from or ask them to forgive me in return? Whatever it may be, Lord, will you please bring these words to life? Because it is a living word.